Our text for this morning is the first reading, Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 48. I share with you again these words beginning at verse 36. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. And verse 43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, our second reading and gospel reading today speak about what love is. But this text gives us an example of what love does. When you picture a mother's love, you might think about sweet things like hugs and kisses. But I also think about some pretty dirty and disgusting things. One of the things mothers are led to do out of love is rinsing out diapers. Now, this might not be too common anymore, but I'm sure older mothers remember taking those diapers and swishing them out in the toilet, and then wringing them out by hand, and putting them aside to wash it later. When a child is older, replace with wiping dirty bottoms, and then at least somewhere along the line comes cleaning up vomit. At least, maybe even reaching down into a sink full of it to clean out the drain. I know this, not because it's not just mothers who do it, but fathers sometimes as well. But I mention it because it's the kind of thing that love leads us to do, and in fact, it's what Jesus does for us. And what Jesus' love leads us to do for others. Because as we look at this text, we see how Jesus immerses himself in the sickness of our world. And how God reaches through us to the unclean. And how the Spirit reaches into us to wash us clean. Let's think first about how Jesus immerses himself in our sick world. Peter preaches, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. As I commented before, this is Peter's sermon at the home of Cornelius, a Roman centurion. And he starts by reviewing all of the things that he had surely heard about Jesus while he was on military duty in that region. But he traces it all the way back to Jesus' baptism by John. John called people, including Roman soldiers, to be baptized in the muddy Jordan River to wash away their sins. But Jesus, who had no sins, was also baptized, not to wash his sins away, but as part of washing our sins onto him, as part of his immersing himself in the filth of our sinfulness. He went on from there to express God's love for the unlovely by walking the dirty streets of Palestine to seek out the unclean, by having dinner with tax collectors and other sinners, by drinking from the cup of a Samaritan adulteress, by touching bleeding women and leprous people and dead bodies, in order to heal people, by wrestling them out of the grip of the most unclean of all unclean spirits, the devil himself. Without holding his nose, he reached out to embrace all the sickness and the decay in our dying and sin-filled world. to show the great love of God still for His ruined creation, until He finally took all the disease of our sin into His own bare hands as they were nailed to the cross, and He died the most shameful and disgusting of all deaths. And He did all of this for us because, like helpless infants or those disabled by sickness, we are unable to do anything about our own sins. And without Him, we would simply wallow in the filth of our sins forever. But He reached down into the slime of our sinfulness, not to stay there, but to rise again, holy and pure, still holding on to us, to lift us up to God, washed clean by His blood. And now, because of His great love for us, that includes everyone in the whole world, God reaches through us to the unclean. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. For as for the word that He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all." And verse 42, "And He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead." It took Peter some time to come to the understanding of what he is here explaining to Cornelius. In fact, it had taken generations for God to finally train the Jewish people to avoid becoming infected and polluted by idolatry and unbelief, by being quarantined from those with false gods. Gentiles, they were taught, were unclean, dirty. God gave them many practices to remind them that they were special, like rules about what food was considered unclean for them. But just before this, Peter had experienced a vision in which a voice from heaven called him to eat some of that food that was considered unclean, non-kosher. And he realized after a while, oh, this is telling me actually that I should accept people that are considered unclean, like Cornelius. But even before this, Peter had to overcome his holier-than-thou attitude even toward the other disciples, which made him think he would stay more loyal to Jesus even if they didn't. He had to come face to face with his own need for undeserved grace when he was ashamed of his failing to even speak the name of Jesus, but yet was restored again to his position after the resurrection. He had to overcome his avoidance of what seemed to him to be dirty jobs by the realization that all of God's children are stinky, including him. And now he was not going to miss an opportunity again to talk about Jesus even in front of those who may hate him. It wasn't just Peter that had trouble with this. The whole early church for years struggled with this gag reflex at accepting those who were unlike them. It's still hard for us today. Because of our human nature, it's hard to understand how true it is that God shows no partiality, and how the truth that Jesus once is and wants to be Lord of all is good news that brings peace to us and among us. Even when we forget what it means to be Jew and Gentile, who of us thinks about that these days, new lines keep appearing that hold us back from sharing the good news of Jesus. Just recently, we've been reminded again of the surprisingly persistent assumptions and attitudes and interpretations about being black or white or colored, or about immigrants. The political campaigns are getting ready again to point out the class war between the poor, the middle class, and the upper 1%. Every generation has new symbols that set them apart from others. Those with nose rings and tongue studs and tattoos from those with neckties and perms. Each looking at the other going, "Ooh, that's unnatural. How can you even stand that?" But we have to find our way past these obstacles Because as Peter realized and preached, God has commanded us to preach to people and to testify that Jesus will come again as judge of the living and the dead. And God shows no partiality toward anyone of any nation except to be partial toward those who fear Him and do what is right. They are acceptable to Him. So what does this mean, fearing Him and doing what is right? It has nothing to do with legalistic rules of Judaism or any other kind of things that we have to accomplish, but it is simply repenting of sins out of respect for God and responding to His call to believe in the gospel of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. As the Holy Spirit reaches into us to wash us clean, to Him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If your washing machine is working the way that it should, the dirty diaper and the cloth rag that you use for scrubbing the bathroom comes out just as clean as the white shirt you wore to church on Sunday morning. God's washing machine is working the way it needs to. When God throws us all in there together. And how God's washing machine works is illustrated here in our text. First, the prophets of the Old Testament point ahead to the same thing that Peter and all the apostles point us back to, Jesus' death and resurrection for us. Everyone in all history and all the world who believe in Him received the same forgiveness of sins because of Him. So how does this happen? Verse 44, this faith happens when God's word is shared. And when people believe it, God's living word does the work. It's like the detergent. And so God's living people need to share the word. But the one who causes the gospel to be believed is not us, but God the Holy Spirit, who works on all who hear it. This Spirit began to work even before Peter was done talking. But Peter knows the plan that Jesus gave for making disciples of all nations, that is, both teaching and holy baptism. So when he sees that the Spirit's stained stick is already working, he says, "Hey, let's get him into the water." We need the same thing. No matter how clean or dirty we may appear to be on the outside, we all need the Holy Spirit to reach into us on the inside, where that real stinky stuff is of selfishness and pride, and to turn us inside out so that we can be clean and so that we in turn reach out to others. This happens when we live every day in our baptisms, getting rid of the filthy rags of our own works by contrition and repentance, and putting on the clean and pure righteousness of Christ. This happens when we continue to hear His word, the word of the apostles and the prophets about faith in Jesus. This happens when the Holy Spirit continues to work through the sacraments, such as the sacrament of Holy Communion, working into the stubborn stains of the fabric of our human nature, the blood of Jesus, which cleanses our hearts and our minds from the things that separate us from God and other people. As long as this is happening, we don't need to be afraid to lovingly take hold of the most smelly and disgusting, including those different from us and including our own children, with the confidence that God will continue to wash us clean. Because Jesus has immersed Himself in the sickness of our world. Love led Him to do everything it took to clean up the sickness of our sin by His death for us. And now God reaches through us to the unclean as we learn from His love and what He has done for us to reach out to others with His love. And the Spirit reaches into us to wash us clean. He does the work using God's own word and sacraments. And he keeps on working on us, even as he works through us, to purify us to be his own dear and holy and loving people. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.